Davy Jones and
Ryan Lindsay.
Stephen was a trader in 1917. He ran the stockyard, soon he would come clean from his introspective personality. He fled the scene, now never to be seen again.
Alright, Ryan, complete the story. Once upon a time, there was a kid named Ryan.
He was the youngest of three brothers. He loved being a fireman during the daytime, and he would wake up and his dad would have coffee and he would drink any type of dark juice to look like coffee and would fight fires in his house until he decided to be a cowboy. True story.
Right on, right on. Ryan, about 10 months ago when we first met up with you, you looked more like Jesus Christ back then. Now you're a little more businesslike, your hair's a little shorter, but it seems to be growing out again. How have you been?
Good. I ditched the religion part and tried to get business, but business and religion is mixing these days, so I'm kind of mixing it up. Yeah, it's kind of growing out, getting kind of long in the back.
So what's Ryan Lindsay up to these days?
I'm working on getting a publishing deal, and hopefully that will get my music out there. I've been writing a lot back in Oklahoma, and I've started writing with the Starlight Mints and playing shows.
By any chance, do you have any new recordings coming up at this point?
Yeah, I've been recording a few things. One for this project called Murkville, which is a book. And you can go to myspace.com/Murkville. And this band Cheyenne that I play with did a song for it. And every song is based on a different part of the book. It's kind of a children's book, but for adults. And hopefully it's going to be published sometime in the next year with a CD inspired by the book. There's some other bands on there from kind of all over, really. I have a song that's on their MySpace right now, so you can go hear it.
What was the last thing you ate?
You're pretty skinny. I'm just worried about you.
I am pretty skinny. This thing I ate was shrimp over at this place over here.
At Little Italy?
Yeah.
All right on.
I had a shrimp and bread, and I'm ready to eat dinner.
Do you like my hair?
I do. Is that a perm? Nobody can see it.
Nobody can see it. Describe it.
It's kind of a perm slash fro, rainbow colored. It's really cool. It's really hip. You would love it.
If you were in charge of creating a new religion, what would the tenets of your religion be?
Jam all the time. Jam as hard as you can. Take a break for some T-Bell. And jam again. T-Bell again, and then jam.
Great. Could you explain to me a little bit about future unemployment? I could tell you what I think about it, but I think people who listen to your song would want to know what you think about it, what exactly this song is about.
Future unemployment I wrote when I knew I was going to quit my job as a valet parker at a hospital. I worked there for 3 years. I knew I was going to quit, and I knew I was going to record a record. That's when I started writing the song. And I say, take this, I'm really not so qualified, because they're trying to talk me into being a manager of valet. And I was like, I'm really not that qualified. Get somebody else that wants to manage valet. So when I say I can take my clothes off, like I wore the same uniform for 3 years. And I was, every time I got off work, I hated those clothes and couldn't wait to get them off and just put something else on. So, and I was always hot in those clothes. And so hot, I can take my clothes off. Last time I would just get in my underwear, I'd just be like, these clothes are off me. Because it was 10-hour shifts. But that's probably where I lost most of what weight I had at one point. I wasn't heavy, but I probably had 2 more pounds than I have now.
Which is a lot on someone
yeah.
So skinny.
Yeah.
This fall, it's really not so bad.
comment. No, he's hot today.
Yeah,
absolutely. He's very hot. I'm glad to be sitting next to him. I'm very excited. If
I love your perm.
I know, I can tell. If you and Davy Jones got into a fist fight, who would win?
Ryan.
Not Davy. I don't know. It depends on if I'd been driving through L.A. that day. I've been driving through L.A. past week. Road rage, that's all I can say. Just meet people that are just mean. Just their attitude of motions and passing you up when you can't pass somebody. It's rough. I don't know how people stay happy.
If there is one thing, Ryan, that you could wake up and see changed, what would you want that to be?
People in L.A. driving. People take things too serious. Everybody's only so important. People that think that they're the only person in the world, that kind of drives me nuts. You get it everywhere, you know, whether you're in the Midwest in Oklahoma, or there's just a lot more of it because there's more people out here. You know, you see it more when you go to a big city, like Oklahoma City.
But every now and then, might you run into people that actually do show some signs of goodness and less self-centeredness?
Yeah, even playing shows, you go to some clubs, and the people that are running the club are just pissed because their band's not playing that night, you know. Like, my band should be playing every night. You know, they just had that attitude or whatever. And then you go to a club where people are just super cool and helping you out, and you realize, oh yeah, I hate that. I love this.
Can you explain to me a little bit about Slow Down? I love that song.
It came at a time when the last presidential election, I had a couple sides of people. I had some really far right friends and some really far left friends. It just threw me right smack in the middle. And just hearing everything, it just drove me nuts. That's basically what it's about. I just basically wanted to just be away from all the discussions, because I would hear one thing and be like, oh, you're totally right. And then the other side would have something to come back, like, oh, you're totally right. And then they would get mad and then get in heated debates, and it was just like, man, this is too much.
Where in reality, both sides are right at times.
Yeah, yeah. Both sides have their, yeah. It's totally complicated.
Slow down. Sun, slow down.
Good at playing rock, paper, scissors?
I like playing rock, paper, scissors.
But are you good at it? Could you win?
I win.
What about tic-tac-toe?
Tic-tac-toe, there's always a trick, you know, and I figure it out. It takes me a while. At Cracker Barrel, they have a game that has the golf tees, and I like that one.
That's kind of like tic-tac-toe.
You got to figure the trick out, and then you're like, oh yeah, I'm a genius. It takes a while.
What's the meaning of life?
Meaning of life? To find what makes you happy, and to overcome the things in your life that don't make you happy. It's a constant test. There's always things that you have to deal with that don't make you happy. But if you just make sure you're doing at least most of the time the thing that does make you happy, you can deal with the other stuff. If you have a job, but you're doing something to keep your mind off of that, and you know that you feel like you have a better purpose, if you can stay sane and not succumb to the alternate, you know, people turn to drugs or whatever. And I'm not saying I don't, like, succumb to things, but if you can survive hard tests, the end of life, and still be, like, a sane person, be cool, I think.
It's complicated.
It is.
Difficult. But if you can overcome something, it's great. It's a great feeling. Ryan, do you have any regrets?
I had a span of about 4 or 5 months after I did my record, before the Mints were really touring, that I just sat around a lot, and I should have spent that time doing something cool. I was always like, man, I should just be playing the piano nonstop, and then, like, play the piano for 2 hours, and then play the drums for like an hour and a half, and then play the guitar for 2 hours, and I would just be the super musician. But I just chilled out with my buddies. That's so easy. That's another thing of meaning of life. You can overcome some chill out time to, like, be like, no, I gotta work. So lately I've been trying to, when I have some time that I'm just watching TV, I just turn the TV off and we'll go play the piano. Or listen to an iPod and play the drums to it and try to be a drummer. It's fun.
It's about balance.
Balance.
when you would get back into the mode working or actually doing the things you love, and I'm sure music is one of them, did you find that difficult to kind of leave the time where you were just chilling out with your friends to go back to the music and, you know, and produce something creative?
Because
that
hard.
Is a lot of work.
It's hard. It was kind of like hard leaving to come on this trip because a lot of my friends were moving back to Oklahoma from New York or other cities. They'd all moved away, and for whatever reason, I had like four friends moving back in town at the same time. And it was like a blast. A week of just hanging out with my old friends. And I was like, man, I gotta go play these shows. I don't wanna do this.
Ryan, could you tell me a little bit about White Paper Beds? Is it really about mono?
Yeah, the song itself. I had mono and went to my parents' house. My mom came and picked me up. I was skinnier than this. And I remember my friend's roommates just being like, walking in, and she's like laughing because I was just like so pasty and laying around. It was kind of a joke. I was like, I can't move. And finally, I just collapsed on the floor. I was like, I really can't move. And I drove myself to Norman Urgent Care. This is funny. My girlfriend at the time was studying abroad in Spain, and I got mono. It's the kissing disease, but I didn't think about it. So I'm taking these tests, and the doctor comes in, and he's like, okay, you have mono. Do you have a girlfriend? And I was like, yeah. And they're like, okay, she has mono too. And I was like, no, she's in Spain. And they're like, oh. And I didn't get it, you know. And I'm just like, yeah, no, she's fine, luckily, you know. They're like, okay, well, you need to pee in this because we need to test a few more things and then bring it to us. So I bring the cup to them after I pee, and the nurses and everybody is treating me really badly and acting really weird and kind of like looking at me. That's so weird. So I leave, and then it hits me when I leave that they all think I cheated on my girlfriend and got mono, which is not the case. I was valet parking at the hospital. Yeah, there's a ton of ways. Lots of times it comes from strep throat or something. It's a viral infection, and your body's so worn down that that's when you get mono. So anyways, I get on my parents, my mom comes and picks me up, is like, you're coming to our house. So for 3 weeks, I just finally, after the first week and a half or 2 weeks, I had enough energy to get up and go to the piano and play the guitar. So I wrote half the records at my parents when I had mono, and I wrote White Paper Beds, which is about, you go to the doctors and they have the white paper that they put over, so that's what that has to deal with.
Stretchers lined up down the halls, maze of stethoscopes on call. Dr. Sublet's got a song.
Do you find that when you go back home, for instance, you spent time with your parents, did that foster a lot of the creativity in your album, just being there back with your folks?
Yeah, maybe just having a lot of time to watch A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and Underworld just kind of brought something out of me.
They inspired you?
Yeah. And eating, I don't even remember what I ate. I didn't eat for a while. I couldn't. And I couldn't sleep. A lot of people were like, when you have mono, you sleep the whole time. But I couldn't sleep, and they gave me sleeping medicine, and it didn't do anything to me. And I've since met people that were like, I didn't sleep either, so I know I wasn't crazy.
What do you like best about your hometown? Or what do you like least about it?
The town I grew up in, Stillwater, was great to grow up in, because there's Tulsa and Oklahoma City, which are kind of bigger cities, and they have malls and stuff. But Stillwater didn't, so you're kind of forced to be creative. And so I feel like there's a lot of creative kids that grew up there, and there's a lot of music coming out of Stillwater now. I mean, All American Rejects, I don't know if you know who they are. Nick, the main songwriter, was in a band with me and my brother,
really?
And he's one of the most talented musicians I know. Hands down, super talented. The main singer, Tyson, he had another band called Drowning Fish, and they asked if they could open up for our band, Kids Eat Free. We're like, yeah, and they're like, well, can Nick play drums? We're like, yeah. Nick is now a guitar player, and they're millionaires in buying and selling real estate, and Kids Eat Free broke up. My friend who started All American Rejects is now in a band called Kunik, and their stuff is amazing. And you might have heard of cooning. Well, you're forced to do something different than go to the mall because you don't have a mall. And we would go out and take a deer that people used to shoot arrows at, a fake deer, and like scare people at Sonic, you know? That's what we did. And so I love that about Stillwater. People go to Stillwater, they're like, ew, this place is gross, but growing up there was great. It's a college town, Oklahoma State's there, so people would come in and play shows. The thing I like about Norman is there's a mall there. So now I've been creative, now I can go to the mall.
Best of both worlds.
Anything you dislike about the place, Bob?
I don't know, right now I really like Oklahoma. It was kind of hard to leave this time. I was like, man, I can't wait to get back here. Just because it's been a blast lately. The weather's been perfect. Tornado season is the best time of the year because the weather is perfect. It will rain, but it's kind of cool and warm, and it's like overcast, not hot. I feel bad for the people that lose their houses and lives. The weather is just perfect mix of hot and cold. That's what gives you a tornado.
It's a beautiful state there. It really is.
Any last words before the grand finale?
Keep jamming.
So now, Ryan.
Yes.
Will you give us your best pirate impression?
I'm out here on the road. I need some whiskey for the road. I just watched a show about modern day pirates.
They're mean.
They really are. They're deadly. So I don't ever want to take just a boat out into the ocean. Go to Malaysia.
No. You want to stay within the range of the U.S. Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a scary.
It is scary. Out there. It's not like Captain Ron. Remember that movie? It was with Martin Short, Kurt Russell's Captain Ron. And they take this boat across the ocean, basically.
What was it called?
Captain
Ron?
Captain Ron.
Arr.
All right, thank you, Ryan.
Thank you.
Once again, this is Davy Jones and Paloma, and we're with Ryan Lindsay at the Casbah in San Diego. Ryan happens to be one of our favorite musicians, and it's a real pleasure to be with him
today. It's my favorite podcast.
Buy his records.
Either way, Stephen's way is right to be arranged. Either way, Stephen's way is right to be complained. Now